This week's Parsha is Parsha's Achrei Mos Kedoshim, but we will be speaking mostly on Parsha's Achrei Mos. On chapter 18, Pasuk number 5, right before we talk about the Parsha of Aroyos, right before we list all the forbidden relationships, the Pasuk says, Ushamartem es chukoisai, you should safeguard my decrees, ves mishpotai, and my laws, Asher yase oisam ha'odom, that man should make it, v'chai bohem, and live by them, ani Hashem, I am Hashem. We have to try to understand what does it mean, the laws that you should live by them, ani Hashem. We will try to give different explanations on that pasuk. The first answer we will give, it is from the Kotzker Rebbe. The Kotzker Rebbe says that among us there are people that only remember to do mitzvahs when they have no more strength to sin, or because they are afraid they are soon going to die, and that's the only reason that they decide to make mitzvahs, because they are afraid of the afterlife, what's going to happen to them when they get to the world to come. So the Torah is telling you that a person has to keep the mitzvahs while he is still alive. V'chai bohem, while there is still life in him, while he's still young, when he's still healthy, full of life, full of vitality, that's when he has to do mitzvahs. There is a famous Zohar on Parshas Kedoshim, on chapter 19, Pasuk number 32. There the Pasuk says, Mipnei Seva Tokum, you should get up in front of the elders, in front of an old person. The Zohar translates this Pasuk as saying, Mipnei Seva, before you become old, not that you should get up for old people, but Mipnei Seva, before you become old, then Tokum, that's when you should serve Hashem. Try to serve Hashem while you still have vitality in you, while you are still healthy, not serve Hashem only when you are old and can't do any more sins. That's what the Zohar translates the Pasuk there, that Mipnei Seva, before you get old, Tokum, get up. According to the Kotzker Rebbe, the words of that Zohar is echoed here, that the Torah here is telling you that you should do the mitzvahs and the decrees, v'chai bohem, and live thereby. In other words, do it while you still have vitality, do it while you still have koyach, do it while you're still healthy. Do the mitzvahs now while you're still young, and don't wait till you get older to do mitzvahs. Do the mitzvahs as soon as you can. Sefer Degel Machne Ephraim remarks that the word oisam, that it says before the pasuk, that shayase oisam odom, that a person should make them, it's written without a vav, which makes the letter aleph, tav, mem, which is the same letters as the word emes, as the word truth. So he explains that a person that makes emes, truth, as part of his essence, he always admits to the truth, he only speaks truth, a person like that will have a merit, that truth that he speaks will cause him to live his full life. That will v'chai bohem, that will live his life, means that if he speaks truth, then he will be able to live his full life. And you could bring a proof to that interpretation from the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Tzadik Zion, Omed Aleph. There the Gemara brings down that Omar Rav, Rav says, Meresh, in the beginning, I thought there is not such thing as truth in the world. There was once this rabbi, the name was Rav Tavus, and some people say the name was Rav Tavyomi, that if they would give him any money in the world, he would not change his words. One time, he came to that place, and the place's name was Kushta. Aramaic name for truth is Kushta. Came to a place called Kushta, that nobody in that place died before its time, because nobody ever changed their words. Always they said the truth, so therefore nobody died before its time. It's allotted to a person how much days he's going to live. If he's deserving, then he'll leave them out. If he's not deserving, then he won't leave them. And since everybody in that town spoke the truth, everybody deserved to live a full life. So he decided he's going to marry a woman from that town, and he had two children. One day, the wife went to wash her hair. The neighbor came in and asked, where is your wife? he thought it's not respectful to tell somebody that my wife is washing her hair. So he decided that he's going to tell the neighbor a white lie, and he told the neighbor that the wife was not home. Right away, two of his children died. So the people of town came and said, what happened that two of your children died? So he told them, so was the story. In other words, that the neighbor came and I told a white lie. I told them that my wife is not home because it was embarrassing to say that she's washing her hair. So they told them, please get out of here. You shouldn't bring death to our town. The Maharal explains that even though in certain circumstances it's okay to lie, but nonetheless, if you do lie, you have negative repercussions that you cause something or of a bracha to be missed or something to go amiss. The Marsha explains there that the word emes, truth, consists of aleph, mem, saf, and the mem and the saf together makes the word mace, death. That if you deviate, if you take out even the small aleph, if you take out just something minimally out of the truth, then you may cause death. So that's why if you remove the letter, which is the lower numerical value of anything, which is the aleph that equates 1, if you take that out, then you will die. According to this Gemara, we could explain that's what the Degemach Ephraim means to say. That if you speak emes, the word oisam is the word emes, if you make truth as your pillar for life, that you're always going to speak the truth, then v'chai bohem, thereby you live your full life, and your life won't get shortened because of it. We could also explain this pasuk with the famous rivet on Ilches Tshuvah Chelek Gimel, or the reef, which is the same idea as the reef in Ein Yaakov on the Gemara on Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin Omed Beis 16b, which is a famous Gemara that every Rosh Hashanah it's quoted. The Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Krispedo, Omar Rabbi Yochan. Rabbi Krispedo said the name of Rabbi Yochan. Shloisha Sforim Niftochim Barosh Hashanah. There are three books open in Rosh Hashanah. Achas Shor Reshoim, Gemurim, one of completely wicked people. Vachas Shel Tzadikim Gemurim, one of completely righteous people. Vachas Shel Beinonim, and one of intermediate people, which means people that are neither completely righteous nor completely wicked. Tzadikim Gemurim, completely righteous people, Nichtovim V'Nichtomim La'alter, are written and are signed automatically L'chaim. They are written and signed immediately to life. Reshoim Gemurim, completely wicked people, Nechtovim Nechtomim La'alter L'misa, are written and signed right away for death. Beinunim, the intermediate people, Teluim V'omdim Mirosh Hashanah Ad Yom HaKippurim, they remain hanging and standing from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, which means that their judgment is not finalized, it's not signed until Yom Kippur, that they still have a chance to repent, they have a chance to do tshuva during the 10 days, during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, in order for them to change their verdict to life. Zachu, if they have merits, Nichtavim L'chaim, they are written for life. Loi Zachu, they don't have merits, Nichtavim L'misa, they are written for death. Again, there are three books. One book is for life. If you merit right away, you are signed for life. If you are evil, right away you are signed for death. If you are like most people that are Beinonim, that are neither completely evil nor completely good, then you have to do tshuva, you have to repent between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That if you merit, then they'll sign you for life. If you don't merit, they'll sign you for death. The question the Rishonim ask, according to this interpretation, comes out that if a person is righteous, he's signed forever for life. Then you'll find that the righteous people will never die. Since every Rosh Hashanah a person is judged, and since this person is righteous, so every Rosh Hashanah he's signed for life, so will come out that he will never die. And Chas v'Sholom, if a person dies during the year, according to this Gemara, it comes out that the person was wicked, because the wicked people were assigned for death. According to this, no righteous people would ever die, and no evil people would ever live. So obviously, it cannot mean literally what it says. There are different interpretations from different Mefarshim, but the Ravid explains that when you come down to this world, it's predetermined for you a number of days. You have a number of days of your life that's predetermined to you. So if you married, then that number is ascertained, and it's actually increased. You could actually increase that number. You have a set number of life, and let's say your lifespan was supposed to be maybe 50 years, and because you were good this year and you merited, now you're going to be living 50 years and a half or 51 years. And the opposite, if you are evil, then the years that allotted to your life is deducted, which could be that this evil person was originally allotted to him 120 years. Now, because he's evil, he's going to die at the age of 102 or 100. That's what Rabbi Kruspedor, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, means to say that the books of life, books of death, that if you are married, then they give you extra life. You are assigned for the book of life right away, and they increase life to you. If you are evil, then they decrease life to you. If you are Beinoni, if you marry, they'll increase your life. If you don't marry, they will decrease your life. So according to this, it's very good, this pasuk, that the pasuk says, "Ushmartem es chukoisai," you should keep my decrees, "Veshishpotai," my laws, "Asher yase oisam odom," that if you will do them, "Vechai bohem," you will live by them, because if you do the decrees and the laws of Hashem, then you will be a tzaddik, and if you are tzaddik, then Rosh Hashanah, they will decide to give you a longer life. Therefore, "Vechai bohem," literally, you'll have, because of it, a long life. Sefer Lekach Toiv brings the Chofetz Chaim al Torah. The Chofetz Chaim says that we know there is 248 positive commandments in the Torah, and they are equivalent to the 248 limbs that a person has. And we also have 365 sinus, which are equivalent to the 365 negative commandments that there is in the Torah. Together it makes 613, 248 positive commandments and 365 negative commandments. And he says that every mitzvah in the Torah makes a limb of a person alive. And there are two types of limbs. One is a limb that your whole body depends on it, your whole existence depends on it, like the heart or the brain. And then you have a limb that the body does not depend on it, but nonetheless you become a handicap. Like, for example, the leg or the hand, that if you take away a hand or take away a leg, you could still continue on living, but you are considered a handicap. You are not complete. Therefore, it tells you, if you want to become a complete person, since we do not know which mitzvahs are the ones that affect only part of your body, like the leg or the hand, or the ones that affect the essential part of your body, like your heart and your brain, since we do not know which mitzvahs do what, we have no choice. We are required to keep all the mitzvahs. And Sefer Lekach Toiv explains that is pshat in this pasuk, that you should safeguard the decrees, the laws that a person will do and thereby live, which means that the only way that you could be sure that you will thereby live, that you were making the mitzvah that doesn't affect your whole body, is if you keep all the decrees and all the laws. Because if you do not keep the decrees of the laws, you never know which mitzvah you're missing. And if you're missing certain mitzvah, could be that mitzvah is essential for your being, for your survival, for your physical well-being, and for your spiritual well-being. So the only way that you could be sure that you'll make the mitzvahs, v'chai bohem, and you'll live thereby, is only if you make all the mitzvahs. The Kotzke Rebbe gives an additional answer, and he explains that the Torah is telling you, you should make the mitzvahs v'chai bohem, that you should make mitzvahs with life, with excitement, with joy, not like you make mitzvahs always when you do something repetitive, that you have no intention, no kavana, no warmth anymore in what you do, no excitement, everything is like routine. You have forgotten already how much excited you were the first time you're able to do the mitzvahs. For example, you remember the first time you put film, how long you looked at your arm to see how long the lines will come out, that the lines of that film that were in your arm, how long they will take for them to go back to normal. You were proud to do this mitzvah. You had a smile on your face. You are happy to do this mitzvah. You are looking forward. Now you really are doing it out of routine, out of duty, out of yoke. And that is not the proper way to do mitzvahs. The Torah is telling you, you have to do mitzvahs v'chai bohem. You have to live by it. You have to be excited by it. You have to feel life in them, not just do them in a routine or passive manner. The Chiddush Orim explains about the same way, and he explains that you should do the mitzvahs as if your life would have been dependent on this particular mitzvah. That every mitzvah you do, you should view it as this is the purpose for your life. And they explain with that two different things. The first thing is that's the reason why in the morning blessings we put together the blessing of the Torah together with the blessing of restoring the soul to dead bodies. There are two customs. Certain customs make the bracha Elokei Neshama, that Hashem, the soul that you have given to me, you placed within me, is pure. And afterwards, the blessing who restores souls to the dead body, and right afterwards to make the blessings of the Torah. And certain customs say first the blessing of the Torah, then the blessing of the Hashem who restores souls to the dead body. The Chiddush Orim explains that the reason we put them both together is because the whole purpose for Hashem restoring the soul is for us to learn Torah and make mitzvahs. That's why it's always together, because for you to know that you have to view that the reason that Hashem gave you back the soul is for you to make mitzvahs and learn Torah. And the second thing that the Chiddush Orim explains with that is the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Chof Hei. We have a rule that ha'oisek bar mitzvah patur bar mitzvah, that somebody who is occupied, if one mitzvah is exempt from doing another mitzvah. The Gemara's example is people that are going to study Torah or are on the road to take money to free hostages don't have to build a sukkah, because since they are busy doing one mitzvah, they are not required to do the second mitzvah. Chiddush Orim explains, now we understand it very well. Since a person is required to give his whole life, his whole chayus, to the mitzvah, then he is already busy giving all his life to this mitzvah. He has no time to perform another mitzvah. Only after he finished with this mitzvah can he go now put his whole being in the other mitzvah. If you're busy putting your whole being, everything of yourself in one mitzvah, then you cannot perform another mitzvah. That's why you are exempt, because the Torah tells me that I have to perform mitzvahs v'chai bohem. I have to make sure that my whole life is invested in the mitzvah, so then I don't have room to make other mitzvahs. Sefer Noyem Megadim brings a beautiful answer. He explains that the whole pshat in Pasuk is completely different than we understand. He first asks a question: how can Hashem promise us a reward that v'chai bohem, that He will give us life, if we know the Gemara Kedushin Daf Lamed Tes Omed Beis? There the Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Yaakov says, Schar mitzvah behai al meleke, that Hashem does not give rewards for mitzvahs in this world. Since mitzvahs are something rochni, something spiritual, and something that lasts forever, Hashem does not give rewards for mitzvahs in this world. So how can we get a reward v'chai bohem, that will live by it, if Hashem doesn't give reward for mitzvahs in this world? Answers with one of the answers that we probably mentioned in another CD, that Hashem doesn't give rewards for mitzvahs that are written in the Torah. Biblical mitzvahs, Hashem does not give you reward. But anything that you do to protect the mitzvah, and you follow the rabbinic decrees of the mitzvahs, the rabbis instituted takanas, rules, in order to make sure that you don't transgress other mitzvahs, those rabbinic decrees, if you follow them, then Hashem gives you reward for you following them in this world. The mitzvah itself, you receive the reward for the mitzvah in the world to come. but things you did to protect that mitzvah, to safeguard that mitzvah, that you get reward in this world. And he explains that this is pshat in our pasuk. Our pasuk says, "Ushmartem es chukoyse ves mishpotai." You should safeguard my decrees and my laws. Safeguard means that you put a fence, you make something around it, that you make sure to keep those decrees and those laws safe. And the pasuk continues, "Asher yaseh oisam adam," that man will make them. Not that man will perform the mitzvah, that man will make the safeguard, that man will decree the safeguards. And if you keep those safeguards that man decreed, then you will live by it. Then you will get reward of life. Because since these are safeguards created by man, they're not part of biblical mitzvahs, for that you get reward in this world. So if you keep those safeguards, you will live. Again, it's a very subtle difference in the pshat in this pasuk. Translation of the pasuk now is not the normal translation. The normal translation of the pasuk is should keep the decrees and the laws, that man will do them and thereby live. So he translates that you should keep the decrees and the laws that man will do, not the biblical laws that Hashem gave to us, the laws that a man will do, then v'chai bohem. If you keep the laws of man, if you keep the decrees that the rabbis made, thereby you will live. Asher yaseh oisav adam doesn't mean that man will perform those decrees. It means the decrees that man will make them. The decrees made by man, if you will follow them, then you'll get reward v'chai bohem, you'll get reward that you live in this world. Because since we know that Hashem doesn't give rewards for mitzvahs in this world, but rabbinic mitzvahs, he gives reward in this world. So if you perform those mitzvahs, then you'll thereby live. Rashi Dol quotes the Toras Kohanim, and Toras Kohanim says, v'chai bohem, that a person should live, means lo'ilam haba, to the world to come. It doesn't mean that you will get the reward for the mitzvah in this world, but it means that you're going to get the reward for mitzvahs only in the world to come. The Torah kind of continues, why? Shein toimar bo'olam hazeh, if you're going to say that it means that you'll get the reward in this world, you'll get life in this world, v'aloy soifoy humes, eventually he will die. What happens that if he dies right away after performing the mitzvah, then you will say that he didn't get reward. Therefore, v'chai bohem must mean that he will get the reward in the world to come. It cannot mean that he's going to get reward for this mitzvah in this world, because eventually the person dies, and if he dies, then he won't be able to get the reward for the mitzvah. There is a beautiful Ramban on this pasuk, and the Ramban explains that there are four types of people, and each one receives his reward accordingly, and v'chai bohem means different things for each of these groups. The first group, which is the lowest group, he says that are people that do mitzvahs sheloi lishma, not for the sake of Hashem, they only do mitzvahs because they want to get rewarded in this world, they want to get wealthy, they want to get honor, they want to enjoy this world, and Hashem gives them the reward in this world. V'chai bohem for them means that they will get life in this world, that Hashem will give them wealth and honor in this world, exactly what they ask. Then we have people who perform mitzvahs out of fear of Hashem, that they are afraid what is going to be in the world to come, how much merits they'll have in the world to come, they're afraid for punishment, what is going to be in the world to come. So Hashem gives for those people reward in the world to come, that they will be able to enjoy their mitzvahs, enjoy the fruits of their mitzvahs in the world to come. And for them, v'chai bohem, and you should live by them, means that you should live in the world to come through those mitzvahs. The third group consists of people who serve Hashem me'ahava, from love for Hashem. Those are people that do mitzvahs not because they expect reward in this world, they expect to get wealthy, neither do they do mitzvahs because they expect or they're afraid or they want to accumulate points for the world to come. The whole reason for them to do mitzvahs is because they want to be connected to Hashem, and since Hashem told them to do, that is reason enough for them to do it. And they also think, Hashem, that gives us so much and does so much good to you, how can you go against His word? How can you not do things that He asks or things that He likes? That is the reason for this group to do mitzvahs, that they're doing it out of love of Hashem or out of wanting a relationship with the Almighty. That is their purpose of doing mitzvahs. And those people who do mitzvah love for Hashem, Hashem promised them that they will get reward in this world. They will also get the reward for their mitzvahs in the world to come. On that, Parshas Bechukosai, where there tells you, V'Bechukosai Teleichu, V'Simitzvoisa Tishmoiru, that Parsha is written for those people. The Hashem promises them, people that do it because of love to Hashem, not because just they fear what they're going to get in the world to come, just because they want to be connected to Hashem and they want to be part of Hashem's people, those people receive reward in this world and receive reward in the world to come. And for them, v'chai bohem, they should live thereby, means that you should live in this world and also in the world to come. And then he brings the fourth level, which is the level of Eliyahu Hanavi, that they despise this whole world. They're not interested in anything in this world. They're only interested in this world because of their connection to Hashem, because how can they could get together to Hashem. And for those people, it's written V'chai bohem, that their physical body, since they despise the physical body in this world and they only use the physical body for service to Hashem, for them V'chai bohem means that their physical body will live in the world to come. And it gives example like Chanoch and like Eliyahu Hanavi. According to the Midrash, Eliyahu Hanavi and Chanoch are one of the people that went alive to Gan Eden, which means that their physical bodies went inside the Gan Eden and they are there now. So their bodies is in heaven in service to Hashem. So v'chai bohem, their bodies will live forever, the same way as it was Adam before the sin, because the ultimate purpose of man is to be in the level of Adam. Adam before the sin, he was going to be eternal, he wasn't going to die. Only after the sin he became mortal. So those people who are giving up the whole physicality, they don't want any part of it, these people get to enjoy the world to come with a physical body. And v'chai bohem, for them living means their physical body will live forever. Even in Olam Haba, they'll have a physical body. And he says that that's why the Torah always uses the language that leman tichya, so you should live, varachta yomim, you should have a long life, and all other metaphors of long life, because that implies for each person what he worked for, Hashem will give him the exact reward. If a person lived for this world, to get reward in this world. If a person worked for the world to come, strictly for the world to come, then he'll get strictly for the world to come. If a person worked in both worlds, he glorified God's name in this world, and he also worked for the world to come, then he'll get reward in the world to come. And if the person gave completely of himself, and he wasn't interested in this world, then Hashem will make that his body will be in the world to come. So v'chai bohem, and you should live by it, means different things for different groups. Sefer Iturei Soira brings a story from the Vilna Gaon. He says that one cold winter night in Vilna, and the cold nights in Vilna are not the same cold nights in Florida, they are really cold, it came a peddler loaded with merchandise, and it was a very cold night, very dark, and he came late at night. Everybody was asleep already, and all the streets were empty. Just from one house there was a little light coming out. So the peddler goes and knocks on the door, and he finds the Vilna Gaon sitting and learning Torah. The Vilna Gaon quickly told the people in his house to keep him warm, to give him to drink and give him to eat, and he prepared to him a place to go to sleep. From all these things that the Vilna Gaon did to him, the peddler came and asked the Vilna Gaon, Rabbi, am I at least going to have Olam Haba? Am I at least going to have a world to come? So the Vilna Gaon asked him, why this world you have that you ask me for Olam Haba? So the peddler complained, oy vey, what Olam Haza do I have? What world do I have? The whole week I have to go from place to place. I can't relax. I don't even have time to pray like I should. And even like that, I barely make a parnasa, and my koiches, my strength, are all going. This is my Olam Haza, this is my world. So the Vilna Gaon says, look, if you put so much effort and put so much time and so much work in this Olam Haza, in this world, and you still can't get it, how do you expect to get Olam Haba? If you don't put any work in the Olam Haba, if you don't do anything for your world to come, how do you expect to get it? If you work so hard in this Olam Haza and yet you can't make ends meet, how do you expect to receive Olam Haba where you don't work at all? The moral of the story is that when the Torah tells you V'chai Bohem, means that if you want to get Olam Haba, you gotta get to work. You are at least required to do Ushmartem es Chukoisa u'mishpotai, that you are required to keep Hashem's decrees and Hashem's laws. And in order to keep Hashem's decrees and laws, you have to come to classes, you have to learn how to perform the mitzvahs. A lot of us do mitzvahs all the time, but if you don't learn the proper way to do mitzvahs, maybe we're not doing the mitzvahs properly. And the pasuk tells you shmartem, that you have to safeguard, you have to make sure you're doing it the proper way. And the only way we're going to find out if you're doing the proper way or not is by us to go learn. We have to do lilmoid velasois. We have to learn in order to do. Because if we just do, we don't know exactly if we're doing it right or doing it wrong. And if you want to get truly Olam Haba, want to make sure everyone, and if you want to make sure that our mitzvahs count completely and will have V'chai Bohem, will live in the Olam Haba, then we have to prepare in this world for the world to come. And that is pshat in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara brings a story that in the future, after Moshiach will come, Hashem will say that those who kept Torah, let them come get the reward. And the nations of the world will say, give us the Torah anew, and we will keep the Torah. And Hashem will laugh at them and will say, Shotim Shebeolam, fools of the world. Somebody who prepared Erev Shabbos, somebody who prepared on Friday, will have food on Shabbos. But somebody who did not prepare Erev Shabbos, who did not prepare on Friday, will not have food on Shabbos. Which means that if you do not make mitzvahs in this world, you won't be able to get reward or get food or get place in the world to come. But if you do prepare in this world, if you make mitzvahs in this world, then you will have a chance to get reward, to get your mitzvahs in the world to come. And that's what it means, V'chai Bohem, that the only way that we are going to get the reward of mitzvahs in the world to come is if we perform mitzvahs in this world. The Talmud in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Dalet, Omed Aleph, brings down that from this pasuk we learn that since the Torah tells me, do the mitzvahs, V'chai Bohem, you should live thereby, we learn V'chai Bohem, you should live thereby, velo yishayamus bohem, but you shouldn't die thereby. And the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pei Hei, Omed Beis, also brings down that how do I know pikuach nefesh is doiches Shabbos? How do I know I'm allowed to transgress Shabbos in order to save another life? Because the pasuk says v'chai bohem, that we should live by it and not die by it. All the mitzvahs were given to us in order for us to live, not in order for us to die. With the exception of three mitzvahs, which are idolatry. If somebody forces you to do idolatry publicly, you're required to die and not do. Immorality. If somebody forces you to commit immorality, if one of the forbidden relationships in this week's parsha, we are required to die and not transgress. And murder. If somebody puts a gun in your head and says, kill this person or we will kill you, we are required to die and not transgress. But all other mitzvahs, we are required to perform them and not die for it. We are not allowed to die for it. So much so that the Rambam says that somebody who decides to sacrifice himself for the mitzvahs is committing suicide, is tantamount to committing suicide. The question the Mefarshim ask, Yalkut Shimoni brings down on the Pasuk on Bamidbar, chapter 19, Pasuk 14, there the Pasuk says, Zoisa Torah, this is the Torah, Adam ki yamus b'oil, a person that will die in the tent. The Pasuk there is talking about a person that dies in a house that it contaminates the whole house. But the Yalkut Shimoni quotes Rav Shimon ben Lakish saying that Ein a Torah miskayemes, that the Torah does not stand el b'mi shememis atzmo yoleo, only if somebody does Mesiras Nefesh, is willing to die for it, is willing to forgo luxuries, is willing to sacrifice himself for the Torah, that is the only way that the Torah will be able to be maintained. And theoretically, that is in a clear contradiction to what we just learned. V'chai bohem, the person should live by it, v'lo yisho yamuz bohem, and he should not die by it. So the question is, when do we say v'chai bohem v'lo yisho yamuz bohem, that you should live and not die? Like we mentioned before from Chiddush Orim, Chiddush Orim explained before that a person is required to give all of himself in order to learn Torah. In the performance of mitzvahs, he is required to give everything of himself. And that seems to be in direct contradiction from what we just mentioned, that v'chai bohem, that a person should live by it and not die by it. The Pardes Yosef tries to answer that is exactly the reason why the two children of Aharon died. We know the two children of Aharon, not of Aviu, they died because they came and they brought a strange fire to Hashem. The Pasuk on Shmini, chapter 10, Pasuk number 1, says, Vayakrivu lifnei Hashem, and they brought a sacrifice in front of Hashem, Eish Zoro, a strange fire, Asher loy tziva oisom, that Hashem did not command it. The translation of the word Vayakrivu is that they came near to Hashem, so much that the Medrash brings down that they came to bring Ahava el Ahava, they tried to bring love to love, they tried to increase love to Hashem. So the Pardes Yosef explains that they did the mitzvah with Mesiras Nefesh. They actually gave their all for the mitzvah. But the only problem was Asher lo tziva oisom, that they were not commanded to do it. So it works like that. If it is a mitzvah, then Hashem tells you, you do it with Mesiras Nefesh, I will give you back your life. If you give it all to the mitzvah, then I will give you back your life because of the mitzvah. If you learn Torah with Mesiras Nefesh, the merit of the mitzvah will revive you and give you back your life. But if you make something with Mesiras Nefesh and it is not a mitzvah, you do an action that you think it's a mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah, then the mitzvah cannot protect you because you never did a mitzvah. Consequently, if Hashem cannot revive you through the merit of the mitzvah that you did because you didn't do any mitzvah at all, and then your Mesiras Nefesh ends up by causing your death. The reason that Nadav Avihu died is because it was Asher lo tziva oisom, that they were not commanded. They did Mesiras Nefesh, like the Chiddush Orim explains, that every time they thought it was a mitzvah, and therefore, since they thought it was a mitzvah, they did it probably with Mesiras Nefesh, but since in actuality there was no mitzvah, then it became Asher lo tziva oisom, that Hashem did not command, then the Mesiras Nefesh was in vain, and since the Mesiras Nefesh was in vain, then Hashem could not protect them, and they had to die because of their Mesiras Nefesh. But when there is a mitzvah, and if you're doing it a mitzvah, then Hashem makes it that if you do Mesiras Nefesh, that if you do with giving it all your all, if you memis atzmoi, if you kill yourself, you sacrifice yourself for the mitzvah, then Hashem makes it v'chai bohem, that you actually live through the mitzvah. The Hashem makes it that the mitzvah itself will make for you to live through the mitzvah. So according to this, Pshat in Pasuk is that these are the decrees and the laws that a person should do with Mesiras Nefesh and V'chai Bohem, and thereby he will live. He'll be able to live even though it is Mesiras Nefesh, because it's a mitzvah. If you follow the Chukim and Mishpatim, the decrees and the laws of Hashem, then even if you do Mesiras Nefesh, you will be able to live. The Chasam Sofer asks here a very hard question. He asks, this pasuk that v'chai bohem v'loy shayomus bohem, that a person should live by all the mitzvahs, that the person should live by and not die, that is the source that pikuach nefesh is doiche Shabbos. If somebody is having a risk to his life, then I'm allowed to transgress Shabbos for him. And we learn from here that all mitzvahs, if you are at risk, you are allowed to forgo all mitzvahs from this pasuk v'chai bohem, that a person should live by it and not die. As we mentioned, with the exception of three categories, those three categories a person should die and not transgress. And the three categories are idolatry, immorality, and murder. That if a person tells you to idol worship, then you have to die and not transgress. A person tells you to commit immorality, then you require to die and not commit immorality. And a person tells you to commit murder, you have to die and not commit murder. So his question is that, let's see, where is this pasuk v'chai bohem? This pasuk that a person should live by, it's right before the parsha of immorality. Because the next pasuk right away it says, ish ish es kol sheir besoroi lo yisikrevu legalois erva, that any man should not approach his close relative to uncover nakedness. So would be seemingly be meaning to tell you that this mitzvah that I'm going to tell you now, you should live by it and not die by it. Comes out that immorality technically should be one of them, that if you are forced to commit immorality, then you should be able to live and not die by it. So how can we learn from a pasuk that's written by immorality, where the immorality is exactly the exception to the case? The pasuk v'chai bohem is written by the parsha of immorality, of aroyos. So would seemingly to imply to say that this is one of the mitzvahs that we should live by and not die. And we know from halacha that immorality is one of the three that you're supposed to die and not transgress. So then v'chai bohem seems to be contradicting that halacha. And the Chasam Sofer answers u'mitzvah le'yashev, that there's a mitzvah to answer this question. In truth, I saw the Balaturim, that the Balaturim seems to be answering the question of the Chasam Sofer. Because the Balaturim actually says this point. He says that right after v'chai bohem, it's written the parsha of immorality. V'chai bohem means you should live and not die, that these are the mitzvahs that you should live and not die. And right afterwards he's telling you the laws of immorality, to tell you that immorality is the exception. The same way that on Parshas Kedoshim, chapter 19, pasuk number 3, it's written, ish imoy v'oviv tirou, every man, your mother and your father you should revere, v'eshab soisai tishmoiru, and my Shabbos you should keep. From there we learn that mitzvah, that you have to revere your father and mother, but we also learn that if your father and mother tell you to transgress Shabbos, you are not allowed to listen to your father and mother. So comes out that the last part of the pasuk that says v'shabsoi shaitishmoiru, and my Shabbos you should keep or you should safeguard, comes to tell you that at that point you nullify the first part of the pasuk that says ish imoy aviv tirou, that you have to revere your father. That this is the exception, that when that your father tells you to transgress Shabbos, to transgress one of the mitzvahs, then you're not allowed to hear or you're not allowed to listen to your father and mother. So too, by us, where the pasuk tells you v'chai bohem, you should live by it, and we learn from that that all mitzvahs are made for survival and not for death, that if you are threatened, then you are allowed to transgress all mitzvahs. Right afterwards, the pasuk is telling you about the laws of immorality to tell you that immorality is also the exception to the rule. That if somebody is coming to tell you to transgress immorality, then I don't want you to do V'chai Bohem. Then V'chai Bohem is cancelled. V'chai Bohem only works if I don't have to do immorality. The same way that Kibud Av V'Em, the honor your father and mother, only works when you are not asked to transgress Shabbos, so too V'chai Bohem, that you should live by, only works if you keep the laws of immorality. But if it's between the laws of immorality or V'chai Bohem, then the laws of immorality override V'chai Bohem. So this Baal Turim not only answers the question of the Chasam Sofer, it actually gives proof the opposite way, that this is the reason why immorality doesn't apply the rule V'chai Bohem, that you should live and not die by it, because it's written right next to the Parsha of Aroyos. And Hashem Yisborach should help that we should do all our mitzvahs in vitality, that we should be moiser nefesh in our mitzvahs, that we should give everything in order to perform our mitzvahs. We should do mitzvahs with excitement. We should serve Hashem out of love, and like that we'll merit to have this world and also the world to come, like the Ramban says. And if we do that, every deed that we do, we contribute to the coming of the Mashiach. And if Mashiach will come, the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt, b'imheiro b'yomeinu, soon in our days. Amen.